Much love and many blessings, and welcome to the final session of superhero training. We're going to be doing some more sessions, but they'll be based on your questions. So this is the last of this 2020 superhero training, and we're going to learn many very important things and a recap of what you've learned so far so you can take it with you into your beautiful life and experience that beautiful experience of freedom and safety and peace, even though the world is gradually crumbling. So let's start with a few beautiful breaths, just taking a few deep, gentle breaths. So breathing all the way in and all the way out. Nice deep breaths. And as you breathe in, just breathing in that beautiful light. Imagine light is filling you up. Giving thanks. And as you breathe out, shine light, shine peace all around you, throughout your whole body. So just breathing in the light. And shining it all around you. So it goes through all your cells, through all your body, out into the world. A few more deep breaths, just breathing in light, giving thanks, and shining it all around you. Wonderful. So I'm going to start by reading you a quote that sums up superhero training from Mateshwari, the World Mother. Now continue to move along. Let it not be that you hear a lot and imbibe only a little. No, listen to a little and imbibe a lot. How do you put into practical form everything that you've heard? Continue to think about this fully. Continue to move forward with your practice. Let it not be that you simply continue to listen and listen and listen. No, whatever you heard today, if anyone were to put that into a practical form, such as, that's it, from today, I will continue in this stage. I will not perform any such actions under the influence of negativity, and I'll make my daily practice, my daily timetable in this way. I'll keep my chart like this. If someone were to put this into practice in a practical way, then just see what he would become. Whatever was said just now, that has to be put into a practical form. Whatever you say, whatever you hear, do that. That is all. Nothing else. Simply pay attention to your actions. Do you understand? So as we go into this session today, just keep in mind that we've shared many, many things with you. And what leads to practical transformation in our health, in our joy, in our life, in our relationships and money and business and all these things is action. So we can know about things, that's wonderful, but imbibing it, practicing it, becoming it, doing it. And like we said before, you're not going to do it perfectly. In fact, most things we do to begin with are a mess. So your daily practices might not be done in the perfect way every day. Sometimes you might not be able to do your full practice. Sometimes you might be a bit tired. Sometimes there may be lots of responsibilities and various sorts of chaos and unexpected accidents and all sorts of crazy stuff happens. So life is not this perfectly streamlined, predictable thing. Lots of strange stuff happens. But if we keep practicing doing the things that make a difference for you, then you're going to actually change yourself. And that's how you have a different life and you help change the world, because we can't really think about changing the world if we can't change ourselves. So it has to begin with us. So just keep this in the back of your mind as you listen to this session today and as you go about your life. How can I apply this practically? So the first thing we're going to talk about today is now or never. Because we've mentioned this in many other superhero trainings, that the key difference between superheroes and the rest of the world is superheroes take massive action. Massive action. So if you have an idea, then the question is, how can I think about the simplest way of doing it? And how can I do it now? Because we might not get a second chance to do things. Time is speeding along, things are happening, and we may or may not actually pull off and manifest the things we want if we don't get on with them. I recently needed new tires on our car, right? So I called up the tire company and they had closed down, right? Their business, they're out of business. And they wanted me to drive, you know, like an hour to a different location that they had. And I said, well, you know, I appreciate that, but I'll have to call you back because I'm going to go to another tire place that is actually open. So that company went out of business. They didn't expect that to happen, and they're out of business. Right now in America and all over the world, many, many people have lost their businesses due to COVID. And so the ideas that we have, the things that we want to manifest, we need to get on with them right now because we may not get another chance. And superheroes, one of the things we mentioned in a previous training is this expression, optimal, minimal. Because if you want to do something now and you're already busy, how are you going to add something new if you've already got too many things going on anyway? So the way to do that is optimal minimal, which means that you figure out what is the easiest, most powerful way of doing something that you want to do. So there's the long way, the complicated way, the way that takes 10 years or 12 years or 15 years. And then there's the easy way, the way that just can be done now, right away, and help people. Because if someone's drowning, and if you're drowning, then there's no point in trying to get it perfect. You just got to jump in and help. You got to help yourself or help somebody else. And trying to get everything, you know, just or everything lined up really nicely and all organized and everything looks perfect, We haven't got time for that. We need to get on with it. So superheroes recognize the fact that time is tick, 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 ticking along. It's ticking along, and it's going to come to an abrupt end. All sorts of things are going to end suddenly. You want to write down this word suddenly. Suddenly. Things will happen suddenly. And when we have to kind of prepare for this in advance. Did anyone imagine COVID would happen? 2020? Yeah, it was a new decade, 2020, everyone was excited, the economy was kicking ass better than ever, there's all the money around, loads and loads of cheap travel, everything was easy. January, come middle of March, everyone's not allowed to leave their house. Yeah, that was very shocking suddenly. And now still people are not having their usual life. Everyone has to wear masks, there's all sorts of crazy things going on, the plandemic. So maybe some people had been forewarned about this practically, but most of us, I knew something was going to happen, but I didn't know exactly what form it would take, and this certainly wasn't what I imagined. So think about it. Is there anything that you need to do that you're putting off? And how can you do it? Easily, the easy way. I'll give it a practical example. I was talking to one of our lovely superheroes yesterday, and she's such a great soul, and she's had an idea to inspire other people, artists, to inspire people, to help them out. She's had an idea for many, many years, probably about 12 years. And of course, it takes time to get ready. Sometimes you have to learn things, practice things. For some of our ideas, actually can't be manifested right away because we're not in a position to do it. But once we've got a bit of practice, a bit of experience, then we just need to get on with it because it's dragging around at the back of our mind and causing mental anxiety and also not helping anyone because people are not going to be served if we don't actually do something. So her idea was to share some tips for artists, and we had a chat yesterday and we came up with the idea that, you know, writing a book is nice, but writing a book can literally take 2 or 3 years to write it, edit it and publish it. Especially if you go through a publishing company, you might be 2 or 3 years out before that ever gets done. And who knows what's going to happen in 2 or 3 years, right? And those people need help now. So writing a book is not really very practical. And also, it's a real hassle writing a book. So the easy way is to think, what's my best way of sharing things? In her case, she likes to share personally. She's good on video. She's an inspiring person. So we came up with the idea, why don't you just do a live video once a week for 10 minutes, sharing one of your tips, one of your secrets. Record it high quality at the same time on a camera. So it's very easy. You just press, get the video camera, get the iPhone, set it up, have an idea what you're going to talk about, press the button and record everything. And in, you know, 10 or 14 weeks or whatever, with 10 minutes a day, she can have a course with only adding 10 minutes to her week. And week has 168 hours. That's 10,080 minutes in a week. So if we can manifest a lifelong dream, a project, in 10 minutes out of 10,000 minutes, is that a superhero thing to do? If you think of it this way, if you have $10,000 a week, yeah, like 10,000 minutes, imagine that each minute is something you can spend. If you have $10,000 a week and you can manifest something with $10 or $30 that's important to you, is it worth spending $30 or $10 out of $10,000 every week? So most of the time, less is more, right? We need to understand the 80-20 principle. This is very, very important in life. Most people, all of us, frankly, waste about 80% of our time doing stuff that's not very effective, not very useful. So superheroes recognize that the universe is unbalanced, that not all of our time is of the same quality, and we think, okay, what can I do that is the highest value? What can I do with my time that's going to lead to the biggest outcome, the biggest result, the biggest benefit? And if you think about this, if you realize that the world is divided into the few things that make a huge difference and then all the nonsense. So for example, if I go on Facebook for an hour and fiddle around, and this and that, look at a bunch of pictures and get involved in some pointless political argument with somebody, is that really a good use of an hour? But if I, what if I did a live video and recorded something and made a course out of it and that took half an hour? Would that be better use of time? So I'm just giving examples here. With our morning practice, if we do our morning practice, it makes us feel good, feel wonderful for the rest of the day. Rest of the day, it makes a huge difference. Or we could, get up, go to bed late, get up late, run around and be stressed out the whole day. Yeah, so it's very important for superheroes to understand optimal, minimal. What are the key things that make your life much, much, much better? And how can you spend more time doing those? If you start living like this, you end up actually achieving 4 to 16 times more each week than you would otherwise, because you're amplifying the things that matter most. So there's the usual way of living, which is not understanding the difference between high value, low value, and just running around. And then there's the superhero way, which is to understand that a few things make a huge difference. And those things, we need to prioritize doing them now. Now, because they're going to make the biggest difference in our life, in your life. And if you don't do it, you may actually never get another chance to do it. But for example, if you had any travel plans, right, and you didn't go on them last year, you might not be going on those travel plans for a long time, especially traveling to other countries. Many people had all sorts of plans, put them off, put them off, put them off. Now they can't do them anymore. And who knows when things will so-called get back to normal, because they're not going to get back to normal. So you've seen this practically about how wonderful ideas can be destroyed pretty quickly. So whatever you need to do, figure out what's the easy, easy, easy way to do it. And then do it now. Realize that you've got 10,000 minutes a week. Many of these things only take 10, 15, 20, 30, 40, maybe 60 minutes a week and make a huge difference. So we can claim back some time from time wasting, and we can invest that time into things that make a massive difference. Because otherwise, we're just stuck in a rut doing the same thing over and over again. What requires us to change is different things. It sounds obvious, but you've really got to look into this. We all have to look into our hearts and say, hang on a minute, am I actually repeating myself and stuck in a rut? Running around in crisis. We talked about this before. Being busy, busy, busy is actually being lazy, because it's easy to be in crisis. It means that we're not in charge of our life. Superheroes need to get out of what's called crisis management. If we wake up in the morning, check our phone, and spend the whole day managing crisis, there's something wrong with our life. Horribly, horribly wrong. We're actually a slave. if we want freedom in life, we have to consciously free ourselves from crisis management, that way of living. I used to live in crisis management. Once I learned about the term crisis management, I think Stephen Covey mentioned it, and I read one of his books ages ago. And I thought to myself, you know what? This is not a good way to live, to wake up in the morning and be on the call of running around after crazy stuff day in, day out. That is a life of bondage and slavery. That's not a life of freedom and joy and happiness and mastery. So little by little, I started taking a step back, thinking what things I could let go of, what things I could outsource, what things I could do to train people not to expect me to be, dealing with all their crisis constantly. Because a lot of the time, what I've noticed, and you probably noticed this with your inbox or your message box, you might get loads of messages. And if you don't get back to people right away, about half of them get back to you and say, you know what? It's fine. Don't worry about it. This happens so many times to me. I get a message, oh my God, oh my God, oh my God. And I don't see it because I'm not online. And I go back and they say, oh, forget the message. Don't worry about that message. Everything's fine. It's not a problem. Don't worry about it. Sorry about that. And it happens again and again and again. And what we need to do as superheroes is help people become empowered so they can solve their own problems. That's a sign of a real coach, of a real helper, a real teacher, is that you help people solve their own problems. If we are the person people have to come to again and again and again and again, it means we're bad teachers because they should be able to figure these things out for themselves after a while. Not at the beginning, but after a while. So it's very important that whether it's your family, whether it's your friends, to encourage the people in your life to go to the next level. I mean, we all understand it feels nice if people need us and people want our help, and that does feel good, and we like to help, and that's great. So one is to be of service, the other is to be addicted to needing to be needed. So this is a major problem for a lot of people, needing to be needed. So if we want to go to the next level, we need to think, all right, what's the most important thing I can do personally? How can I do the easy version of that? How can I do it now? And how can I liberate myself from crisis management and encourage the various people in my life to become self-sovereign masters to whatever degree they can? It's a sign of love. It's a sign of real love to help someone become strong, to be able to do things for themselves. People who are handicapped, someone who maybe is in a wheelchair or they have some handicap, they like to do as much as they can for themselves. They take pride in being able to get in and out of a car by themselves and drive their own car and do stuff themselves. They like it because they want sovereignty. It's insulting to say, oh, I'll do this, I'll do this. No, they want to do it themselves. People who are getting older, they might, like when they're, starting to lose their vital power, so to speak. They want to maintain as much of their dignity and their sovereignty as they can. So it's nice to help people in whether they're handicapped or whether they're older or whether they're just needy people that need help. But ultimately, people feel better when they're sovereign. And so if we can encourage that, who can you encourage that with in your life? Think about it. Who do you know who comes to you for help? Who is involving you in crisis and who would be happier if they were more sovereign, more self-masterful, and could take care of things themselves. More things, not everything, but at least more of it. So think about that. Is there anyone in your life like that who could do with a little bit of extra mastery? And all it takes is just teaching people how to do things themselves. Whenever people ask me, how do I do this? How do I do that? Can you do this? Can you do that? I always say, I'll show you how to do it. I'll show you how to do it. Because I don't want them asking me to do this certain things over and over and over again. I'll say, all right, how do you do this thing? Okay, I'll show you how to do it. And that way, the other person can quite happily get on with their whatever they need to do, and they can do it again and again as much as they like. And they're empowered. They're stronger than they were before because they've learned something. So if you're a real superhero, then think about how you can help people become stronger. This applies to family, to friends, to clients, to anyone else that you come across who is engaged with you and needs your help. So superheroes recognize time is short. Time is not unlimited, it's limited. Eternity is unlimited, but our time in this body at this time has an end, has an expiration date on it. And the modern society, the way it is, also has an expiration date. So all these shops that are open and all these fancy things that we can get now, we're not going to be able to have them. The internet's not going to work at some point. So a lot of stuff is gonna change. So whatever you need to do, do it now. Do it now, do it now. And don't make excuses. If somebody can do something in a short amount of time and they're not doing it, then something funny is going on there. Something funny. It's not a practical thing. There's something else going on. So when we look back on our life, we're going to say thank you, thank you, thank you, thank you to all the things that we did that made our life better, all the things that helped others, all the things that made a difference. We'll be really grateful. If you look back on your life so far, it's the actions you took that led you to a better life that you're now enjoying. You're sitting on the benefit of the good things you've done. And we're also all sitting on the damage of all the bad things we've done. You know, we have to suffer the consequences of all the stuff that we wish we hadn't done as well. So the more we avoid doing stupid stuff that hurts us, and the more we just think about optimal, minimal, what can I do to make the biggest difference and do it now, then you genuinely end up in a place of freedom and power and joy. You know, you get just feel so much lighter, so much lighter. So less is more. What big actions do you need to take to get what you want? How can you do it now? New things, different things. So here's a quick reminder of what we've talked about so far. The first thing we talked about in the first session, which is something to remember again and again and again. And it's well worth going back and listening to all the sessions again, because when you listen to them again, I guarantee you will realize that you missed about half of it. You'll listen to it again and go, oh, I don't remember that. Oh, I didn't hear that. I didn't notice that. Because we can't, there's so much information. You can't absorb all of it and you don't remember everything anyway. So when you listen to them again, it goes in deeper and then you can apply it. So as you go back for the second time, ask yourself, how can I apply this? This is the question of superheroes. How can I apply it? Everyone else says, it can't be done. It's not possible. I haven't got time. I'm too busy. This is what everyone says. Superheroes say, how can I do it? How can I do it? And then you come up with a simple version. So the first session we mentioned was the choice. The choice. And this is a choice we literally make every day. And the choice is, am I going to ascend and go up into higher levels of health and happiness and freedom and wealth? Or am I going to make a choice that takes me down And the interesting thing is that each choice we make leads to different choices being possible afterwards. So let me give you an example. If I wake up in the morning very early and do my meditation, then I have a chance to, get some food, do some exercise, and go out all before the sun comes up and gets too hot. Right, I'm currently in Arizona, in Sedona. So by about 8 o'clock, it's too hot to be out. I don't want to be out, I need to be back. So if I get up late, my choice of the choice it to go out is it ends. Like I haven't got that choice. If I get up at 8 o'clock, there's no point, the job is done. So that one choice, waking up early, opens up other options that otherwise didn't exist. And if I wake up late, then there's only different choice. I can still make choices, but they're different choices. This is the same thing with the internet. The reason that I turn the internet off most of the time is because I realize that if it's on, there are all these choices I can make, because the online world is this infinite thing. There's many, many choices that can be made. But it also reduces my choices to do anything else. So I notice, for example, when the internet's on, I can't take care of the garden. The garden doesn't exist because I'm online. When I turn it off, then I go outside and go, oh, the flowers need watering. Oh, this needs taken care of. And I might do other things. So every day we're making millions of choices. And each choice opens us up to other choices. And what tends to happen, I've noticed this, is that mistakes happen in pairs. Mistakes tend to happen in pairs. So, for example, if you eat some food that you know is not good for you, but you like it, all right, you wake up and have some of your naughty food, let's just call it. Once you've done it, once you've put that in your mouth, you think, well, there's no point in me eating, having a smoothie or a juice now because it's not going to digest very well. So I might as well have a bit more of that. Right, so you go back and have more of the other stuff, and you think, well, I've had that, I feel a bit tired, maybe I'll have a coffee or have an extra coffee or I have some other thing, and it starts a gradual health downward spiral because of that first choice. Think about this in your own life. Maybe you talk to somebody who isn't the ideal person to talk to, and they get you into some spin about something, and that spins you out, and then something else happens, and then something else happens, and something else happens, and something else happens, all because of that phone call or that text message or email or whatever it is. Many people go on to YouTube or social media of some kind, and they, oh, I'm just going to sort of see if anyone got back to my message, and then check it. And then the next thing you know, an hour later, hours gone by, and then the project that you wanted to work on isn't possible because you haven't got any time left because it disappeared. I mean, I've actually seen it myself because I'm only online 2 days a week. I've seen it where I go online, okay, I've got all these things I need to do, because I've only got 2 days to do it all, uploading things and taking care of stuff and getting back to people. And I think, well, I'm just going to check YouTube quickly. Just going to, and then I realize I've got to unplug it, and I haven't done the stuff that I needed to do because I did something else. So we're making choices all the time, and what's going on at every moment is, am I going to ascend? Am I going to make the choice that brings me up, or am I going to make the choice that brings me down? Am I going to think the thought that raises me up, or the thought that brings me down? Because it starts in the mind. You can think about something and it spins us out, gets us all caught up into it, and then we act. Thoughts create actions. So the ultimate choice is overall, are we going up or are we going down? And we've mentioned this, and we're not trying to freak everyone out. I mean, I know Nick tries to freak everyone out, but I'm not trying to freak you out, because I know that when you're in fear, you can't think properly. There's been studies that show that children who are learning in school, if they feel threatened by their teacher, like they could get hit with a cane, or they could be put in detention, or they could be, embarrassed or whatever, if they feel afraid, they are unable to learn. They can't learn anything. Whereas if they feel safe, then learning opens up, right? So I want you to feel safe personally. And when you realize that you're an eternal being and that you come from your home of light, we all come from the light. We come down, we descend down as spiritual beings into the human body, spiritual beings having a human experience. And we're here on this huge stage. This world is a gigantic stage, and all the different things are props. So you're an actor, spiritual actor on this massive stage. And so you're actually always safe. You're always safe because even if the body's killed, no one really dies because we're not the body anyway. So if a bunch of nuclear bombs were dropped on everyone, none of us would actually die. Of course, the body would stop working because that's not going to handle a nuclear bomb very well. But we would be all right. And when you realize that, then you can relax. You can feel relaxed in your body because this world is going to have lots of strange things. Like, I'll give example. This morning, I went out to my special meditation spot up in the mountains, and I was doing meditation, and I noticed this big black bear came running along. Right, I've never seen a bear before in Sedona. It's this big black bear, and he was about 30 feet away from me, running towards me. I heard this rumbling noise, and I looked over, and there's a bear, and I'm just sitting there, and he's going straight towards me. And initially, I thought, this is a bit dangerous because it's a big bear, But then I just stood up and clapped. And he just turned off and ran off the other way and ran down the hill. And I clapped, 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 and he's ran off, because they're afraid. But on a deeper level, I know that I'm safe. Because this is all a big drama. Maybe that happened just so I could share this with you now. That the life is a strange thing. You never know when you're going to come across a bear. I've never seen one before. But when we have this deeper sense of peace within ourselves, then, even though crazy stuff happens, we know ultimately we're all right. And in Subbio training, we've been telling you this for a while, that this world is in a precarious position, that the ego has got way out of hand. America's going to get crushed. I just want to make that very clear. The arrogance of America in particular. I love America. I'm very grateful for America. I'd much rather be here than I would be in England or anywhere else, quite honestly. But having said that, the ego, America, most Americans have not left America very much. I've lived in other countries. I've lived in India. I've lived in Africa, right? So I know what it's like to be in third world countries and not to have anything, not to expect things. Overall, people in America expect everything to be just the way they like it all the time. And sooner or later, it's not going to happen. So once you're prepared for that, then you're not going to get as upset about it. COVID has already shown this, some of the entitlements. So I'm not criticizing Americans. I love Americans. We're always around Americans. RL's American. So nothing against Americans. But the point is that when we expect everything to be the same as it always is all the time, then when it stops being like the way we like it, then we suffer. But when you realize that you're profoundly blessed right now and you have all these various options and various nice things, and you can get whatever you want whenever you like, and just enjoy it while you have it. That's the point I'm making. Enjoy it while you can, because it's not going to last. And when you know that sooner or later it's going to come to an end, then you can be all right with it when that happens. In the meantime, you know, by all means, enjoy everything you can. I had someone ask me the other day, is it all right to go to use planes? This was before COVID. It wasn't the other day. This is a couple of months ago. Before COVID, is it okay to fly? Because of, you know, a lot of people are freaked out by climate change, which is a scam, by the way. And they're not flying. And I said, you know, it's not going to be around forever. You might as well, if you have this dream to go to some place and you never go on a plane, at least go somewhere once or twice, because this might be your only chance to do it. So when you realize that, first of all, you're safe, and secondly, you can take advantage of the blessings you have while you have them, then you live in a state of gratitude. A state of profound gratitude. All right, so make the higher choice again and again and again and again and again in your relationships, in your thoughts, in your choice of what content you watch or what you don't watch, or how long you spend online or how long you take offline, and what projects you do. If you can spend 10 minutes a week doing a project that's going to help lots of people, or you could spend 10 minutes fiddling around with Facebook, then 10 minutes spent sharing is a much better choice. So are we ascending? Are we becoming more soul conscious, more spiritually aware, more loving, more kind? Or are we increasing our negativity, increasing our anger, increasing our attachment, increasing lust and greed and fear and stress and everything else? Because a lot of people are going down very, very quickly. So when the world is falling down the hole, falling off the cliff, then you need to think, well, I'm not going to do that, you know. A good rule of thumb is whatever most people do is a bad idea, and do the opposite. Whatever most people do, do the opposite. That's actually good advice in most situations. Not all situations, but in a lot of situations. So if the general public is obsessed with something, it's probably not a good idea. So if you look at the world through that filter, you're in a much better sense of things. So the next thing we talked about was the power of practice. And this is extremely important, because the only way we change is through practice, repetition, and doing things that matter to us. And one thing that I recommend you write this down, right? Pay close attention, because this is very, 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 very powerful. We are living in an information world, right? Full of information, 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 information. Too much information. But we can't consume it all. They haven't got, even if you spent all day long trying to consume information, you'd barely get through any of it, because there's way too much of it. And what we need to ask ourselves is this question. The question is, can I apply this? Can I apply this? And if the answer is no, then it's probably a good idea to stop engaging with that content. Right, why am I saying this? I'm saying this because most people today, if I was to get a random selection of 100 people, right? Imagine 100 people just randomly selected out of the population, 100 people, and we were to ask them, are you overwhelmed? And how much content do you consume? Most of them would say they're very overwhelmed. They're consuming all sorts of content, right? So they have massive input, huge amounts of information going into the mind, into the brain. And then if we were to ask the question, how much of the information that you've consumed can you apply? Yeah, most of it they say, no, I can't apply it. Like, for example, if you spend hours and hours and hours watching TV and films, can you apply that? No, you can't apply it because it's just entertainment. You can't use that. Some movies genuinely are really good, and they have like a deep message which can be applied. But most stuff is doesn't have that, and it's just a waste of time. So most of it can't be applied. And if it can be applied, then we can ask ourselves, well, how can I apply it? How can I use it? Most of the news, by the way, news, most news can't be applied. It's not useful. It's just sensationalism. Right? So if you're gonna live with sanity in this world, you have to ask yourself, how can I apply it? How can I use it? So what I'm sharing with you today is literally is applicable. I'm giving you endless how to do this, how to do this, how to do this, how to not do this, how to do this. I've probably shared about 15 or 20 things you can apply already, all right? You can actually use them in your life practically. So the more the practice, the power of practice means that you figure out the things that matter most, whether it's health practices, spiritual practices, and then you create a little chart for yourself. What is the point of a chart, by the way? The point of a chart is to check, am I causing sorrow to myself and other people, or am I bringing happiness? Yeah, you're basically checking, am I ascending or am I descending? So when you actually check yourself, you realize, oh my God, today was great. I did really, really well. I did all these things. I feel good. I feel happy. I feel inspired. I'm going to bed feeling content. Other days, you might feel a bit drained, a bit trashed, a bit disturbed, a bit neurotic, a bit freaked out about things because we've caused sorrows to ourselves and caused sorrow to others in one way or another. And when we check ourselves, check and change, the chart is to check and then to learn and then to change. So we say, okay, well, this is, by the way, this is how I've come to realize most things in my life is that when I check myself, I'm like, oh my God, I'm making the same mistakes over and over and over again. And as I see it clearly, then I can actually choose to change. Right? So a lot of the time, what happens is the ego is an evil, like a deceptive, evil little thing that goes on. It ruins our life, makes us do stupid stuff based on scarcity, based on insecurity. So we do silly things that cause harm. And then what happens? The ego makes us lose our memory, amnesia. We lose our memory. We don't realize we did it. It kind of gets suppressed. So we look back on our day and we can't see those things happening because we're not paying attention. What a chart does is it reveals to us what actually happened today. Right? And then we can look at it and say, oh, well, that's a bit alarming. What's going on with that then? And then we can say, okay, right, I admit that I got this problem. I admit I'm wasting my time with this. I admit I shouldn't be doing that. How can I use that time in a much more beautiful, powerful way tomorrow, right? So you learn from it and then you can put it into practice. So that's the point of a chart. So you write down everything you want to do and then you check yourself, did I do it? Did I cause any sorrow? Did I bring happiness? And then you think, well, what can I do differently? What can I do differently? And if you apply it, your life really will change in a remarkable way. You'll have huge changes, huge changes. For example, one of our lovely superheroes, Lydia, said that she wanted to do the five Tibetans, which is I do the five Tibetans. It's a great exercise. And so she can check herself, did she do it or not? And there's the long version and the short version. So then the next session we in Subio training, we talked about the morning practice in particular. And we recommend a spiritual practice, meditation, prayer, chanting, Om's are a good one as well. Breathing, right? We recommend exercise, We recommend hydration, at least drink a quart of water. Yeah, or you can add lemon, or you just have water by itself. So you get your drinks in, get your drinks, get your meditation, get your exercise in. That's a huge improvement right there. Okay, and then you check yourself, did I do it or did I not do it? It feels great to actually do the things we say we're going to do. That's a sign of mastery. A master says what they're going to do and they actually do it. And everyone else just thinks about things and doesn't do anything with any of it, right? That's a big difference. So at the end of the day, you check yourself, and let's imagine that you're really busy for some reason, okay? And hopefully, as I've shared before, getting out of crisis management will make you not be busy in the wrong way. Being productive is one thing, being busy and running around is a different thing. So you can be very, very productive, very, very effective, and help do lots of things every day without being in crisis, okay? But let's say that for whatever reason, you've got to catch a plane, or you've got to do this, you've got to go out, or something happens, and you haven't got as much time, or you went to bed really late because of something happened. How are you going to do it then? Then we recommend the 2 minute version. So if your morning practice normally takes an hour or 2 hours, my morning practice actually takes about 4 hours, from 4 to 8. 3 or 4 hours. But let's say I can't do that, then you do the 2 minute version or the 5 minute version, you know. So you, instead of doing the 20 minute exercise, you do the 2 minute exercise. Instead of doing 20 minutes of meditation, you do 2 minutes of meditation. And then you still get a tick on your chart. It makes you feel good, and it keeps up the practice. Because if you miss that 2 minutes, you may miss it the next day and the next day and the next day and the next day, and then 3 months go by and you're back into all your old habits, and everything's a disaster, and you're in chaos and crisis, and you're on the phone all the time, and it's a disaster again. So you can avoid that horrible fall, the back down into hell, by just doing the 2 minutes, and then the next day get back onto the full practice. The next thing we talked about in Superhero Training is effective prayer or effective spiritual practice. What does it mean? The main thing with spiritual practice is to experience I am light, I am a soul. This is really worth writing this down. Just write this down. I am a soul. I am a soul. Just that one statement. I am a soul, which means I am a point of light. I am eternal light. Eternal light. Eternal consciousness. So the main purpose of spiritual practice is to remember that you are light. And you can think this in your thought as a mantra. I am light. I am light. I am light. You know, and you can enjoy that. Because otherwise we're caught up in body consciousness, ego consciousness, running around, getting attached to things. Everything's going to end. Everything's going to finish. Whatever you see with your eyes is going to be destroyed. Everything's going to be destroyed. You're going to die. And when you do, you'll realize that you're light and that you're not actually dead. So you might as well realize this and experience who you are now rather than waiting around until you lose it all and freak out about it and then remember it, you know? So it's much easier, more loving way to live, to know who you are. So the whole point of spiritual practice is to remember, I'm not this body, I'm not this person. I'm a beautiful being of light, a shining light. I'm originally pure, peaceful, loving, liberated. Ah, yeah, doesn't that feel good? Let's just take a moment now just to think for three times. I am light. Just think very slowly. I am light. See yourself as a shining light. I am light. I am light. I am a soul. I am a soul. I am a soul. Yeah, you can say to yourself, I am a powerful soul. I am a powerful soul, powerful light. Ah, yeah, you probably know. I've noticed when people just start thinking these things, even just 3 times or 10 times, you start feeling much, much better very, very quickly. So spiritual practice is just remembering who you are, coming back home to yourself. So one is knowing who you are, and the other one is receiving the charge, getting the power. Where does the power come from? The power comes from the supreme power source, the ocean of love, the ocean of light, the ocean of joy. So there's a being of light. It has infinite, infinite power, infinite peace, infinite joy. And that being is a being of light like we are. We're shining lights. God is a shining light. And that being is shining light all the time, like the sun. The sun's always shining. We might always not always experience the sun. If the sun is on the other side of the earth, then we don't notice it. That's nighttime. But the sun is always shining anyway. So God is always shining on us. So we just remember that this is a being of light in the sky. You can imagine there's behind the universe, on the other side of the universe, is this being of light. And this light is shining, it's like the ultimate sun is shining through the universe onto the planet and into you. So you just can imagine feeling that light, feel that light. And you can breathe in that beautiful light and love and peace. And giving thanks and shining out good feelings throughout your body. Let's just take 3 breaths. So see that light very clearly. Light, God's light shining on you. Divine light. Giving thanks and shining it out all around you. And just breathing in that light. And shining it all around you. Breathing in light and shining the light. So it's easy, so easy, so easy. It's easy. It's remembrance, remembering that you're a spiritual being, God is light, and you're just receiving the light, giving thanks. This is the most important choice, by the way, is to have that practice because that clears the past. It helps us to grow. So this is very important to do every day. I recommend doing it for many hours. That's what's necessary. If you can't do many hours, at least do many minutes, because it's going to give back to you more than anything else in your life. This one practice is going to give back to you more than any food you have, more than any money you make, more than any relationships. It's much more important because it's spiritual nourishment, and we are fundamentally and first and foremost spiritual beings. So you can experience that you're a soul connected to the higher power, to God, and feel that you've already attained everything. You've attained everything. You're full. You're receiving, receiving, receiving. And shining it all around you. So that's a practice you can do. I recommend you do it every day, as much as you can. You can do it all the time. You can do it while you're walking around, just breathing in that light. The next thing we talked about in Superhero Training is a session on staying sane in the modern world. This is not easy to do. We've been talking about this a little bit. Because if you're consuming massive amounts of information, most of which, frankly, is nonsense and harmful, then you're going to give yourself mental health challenges. A lot of people are suffering from mental health problems. And there's a number of reasons for it, but one of the main reasons is overloading. This is proven, by the way. This is not just my opinion. There's loads of studies. What is the effect of massive amounts of social media and information? It causes mental health problems, a lot of mental health problems. So we have to avoid that and have healthy mental health, emotional health. And the way we do that is by taking time away from all the madness, I recommend minimum 1 day a week offline. Realistically, most of us, I run an internet business. My business is entirely online, and I'm offline 5 days a week. Sometimes I have to go on for a short period. I go and grab the phone and then put it back again if I have to. So it's not always exactly 2 days. Sometimes it might be like 20 minutes. But when you actually don't use it, you realize you can do everything you need to do in about an hour. In about an hour, it's all done. You know, the rest of the time is just time wasting, distraction, and addiction, let's be honest. I don't mind saying this. I admit I'm an internet addict in the sense that I will go online and watch YouTube or watch Facebook or check the news. Yeah. And I realize it's not best use of my time. I mean, I do it anyway. So that's called addiction. And I realize that getting away from it is the best method. So if you want to be sane, most effective method is turn everything off at least once a week to experience life. You know, we didn't, the internet's not a normal thing. It's going to end. It's come along. It came along really. We got access to the internet 20 years ago. Most people went online about 20 years ago, and it's going to end, right? It's not normal. This is not part of human life. It's going to stop. So, you know, experience life, you know, eat some olives, you know. Think about the Mediterranean. The life back in the old days, they would have their olives and their olive oil, plenty of thyme, you know. You know, nice things, long lunches, more relaxed. This is much more natural. You know, throughout history, we've been having much better relationships, much more time. It's been such a different pace of life. So if you just go offline, you start to come back to a more human way of living. We also talked about the next session in Superhero Training is how to manifest what you truly, truly want in your life and enjoy the journey, because we can still manifest things. You know, this COVID hasn't like ended everything. There's going to be more crazy stuff happening, which will cause major problems, but you know, you still can manifest things. But in order to do that, you need to do it now. That's very important. Whatever you want to manifest, make sure you get on with it today. And I'm not saying metaphorically today. I literally mean, if there's something that you want to do, move it forward today. Literally, you can just do 10 minutes on a project to move it forward. Call somebody up, do something, and that moves it ahead. But also, it's important to enjoy the journey because, as we mentioned in that session, when people manifest what they want, it doesn't bring happiness. And this is very evident by buying stuff on Amazon. Like, I buy loads of stuff on Amazon. I recently bought a bunch of stuff and I was all excited to get it. And I got it, fiddled around with the equipment I needed to do something, fiddled around with it, and it didn't work. And frankly, it didn't make any difference. And I'm going to send it all back again. It's all going to go back. Amazon gets lots of return packages from us, I assure you. So it doesn't make any the idea, oh, this will be great, and then you get it, and then you're like, yeah, it doesn't do anything. Then you send it back, don't you? Right? I mean, maybe I'm the only person, but I don't think I am, let's be honest. So this is the same thing with gold medalists. They work really, really hard, they get the gold medal, and then they feel depressed. So I'm not saying that you shouldn't manifest anything. That's not the point. The point is that it's the enjoyment of the journey itself that makes the difference. So it's much, much, much better to design your life around the things that you enjoy doing than to design your life around achieving something in the future. That make sense? So there's two ways of living. You can work, 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 hoping that in the future you'll get something you want, which is how a lot of people are living, suffering now, hating their life because they think finally they'll get that thing they want. And then when they do get it, they're depressed. So it's completely disaster. It's a horrible life and it leads to depression afterwards. It's just terrible. And unfortunately, that's how a lot of people live. The better way of doing it is to think about who are you? What are your skills? What do you like to do? What kind of life do you enjoy leading? What makes a difference in your life practically? What puts you in a flow state where you lose track of time, where you're just enjoying yourself, where you don't know what's going on, but you're just loving it? And if you can design your life around things that you enjoy doing, then you're winning. You're basically manifesting a success every day. You're successful every day. You're living in success practically because you're enjoying what you do. And if you're not enjoying your daily life very much, then it's time to think, well, what can you do? What can you give up? Or what can you change so that you have more of the things that you like to do and less of the things you don't like to do? So I'll just give an example. I personally like to do these calls. I like teaching. I like writing. I like being in nature. I like eating good food. I like spending time in the garden. I like connecting with friends and family. Traveling, right? So I design my life around basically only doing those things. Everything else, I pretty much outsource it to somebody else or I just cancel it. And one of the things important to remember is that there are like genuine duties that we have, like dharmic duties, things that are really important that we do. They're normally called obligations, but I want to discern the difference. One is an obligation about something that you don't like to do, that's a waste of time and is causing sorrow. And the other is your real duties that you might not like doing, but you know that they need to be done. So, for example, with our family, a lot of people, they may or may not love their family that much, but they have a duty at least to give blessings to their family. I like my family and I like talking to them. So I don't feel duty bound. I just like to talk to them. I don't talk to them every week. I'm not on a program, but I talk to both my mum and dad, at least once a month, if not every 2 weeks, sometimes every week, sometimes months go by, but the thing is, it's a natural relationship. It's not on a schedule, forced thing. So that's an example of, looking after your family. The other is these obligations that are basically a trap, that they're completely pointless. Many people, for example, are in various types of meetings where they have to have meetings with either their business people or some other meeting or whatever it is. And there's really no point to any of it. There's a funny Monty Python sketch. You can look on this on YouTube after the call just to amuse yourself if you want. It's called The Society of Putting Things on Top of Other Things. So there's a society, and their job is to put things on top of other things. So they had their annual meeting, and it turned out that the one group from London had managed to put three things on top of other things during the past year, which wasn't a very big success. And some of the other people had put more things on top of other things. But one of the people finally said, well, this is a bit ridiculous, putting things on top of other things. And they disbanded their society because it's ridiculous, right? It's a funny sketch. Now, the thing is, we are doing this in our life. We have stupid obligations to stupid things that are like putting things on top of other things. And if we want to have a much, much, much better life, we need to get rid of those things. And everyone is better off for it. I mean, so many things people feel obliged, oh, they don't want to do it, they have to do it, oh, I have to do this thing, I have to take care of this stuff, this admin thing, or whatever it is. And then sooner or later, we just all say, you know what, let's just cancel it. And everyone says, yay, hooray, let's just cancel it. It's great, hooray. So this applies to business. One of the rules in business, by the way, is don't have any meetings. Meetings that should be cancelled. Meetings are consistently a complete waste of time. Many, many successful businesses cancel meetings. Just cancel. They just don't do them. And if they do do them, they're extremely short and only the relevant people are involved. So if you want to have us manifest what you want, then think, what kind of life do you want to live? How can you have the best day ever? And consider that your life is the destination. That having the best day ever is the destination. Because that way, imagine that you had today's the best day ever. Okay, you have a wonderful day today, right? Do the best day ever today. And then tomorrow, it's the best day ever, right? You really enjoy the things that you do tomorrow. And the next day, you really enjoy them. And the next day, and the next day. You are really living the dream if you do that. Right? But on then compare that to the other way. You're sucking it up, putting up with a bunch of crap, doing stuff you don't like, because hopefully tomorrow will be better. And then tomorrow, same thing, doing stuff you don't like. Hopefully the next day will be better. Hopefully next year will be better. People who live like that very, very rarely actually manifest anything. And when they do, they're depressed. So it, flip it on its head and say, how can I manifest the life that I love? And it's the little things that matter most. Things like going into nature, things like talking to people that you care about, things like reading a book. You'll be surprised how many times I've talked to people and I've said, what would you love to do in your dream life? What would you love to do? If you could do anything at all in the world, right? Anything at all. You had all the time in the world, you could do whatever you like, right? Any endless money, everything's just the way you want it. What would you do? Yeah, I've asked this question to many people, and I've heard you should think about this for yourself, by the way. What would your ideal day with no restrictions? I've heard the same thing from so many people. It's quite remarkable. And what I've heard is they say, I would really, really, really love to sit in the sun and read a book or a magazine. I'm like, oh my God. And I'm like, well, you do realize that you could sit in the sun now and read a book or a magazine. You doesn't have to put this off till you've got all the money in the world to do that. And other thing people say, I wish I could just have a nice cup of tea, read my book. I wish I could go for a walk, or I like to do my yoga or my practice, or it's the same stuff that we could do now. Almost all of the things people come up with are the same things we could do now. Right? So we need to have a good look at ourselves and say, what silly stuff, putting things on top of other things, can we get rid of so that we can have the life that we actually enjoy having today? Or at least start setting it up so that next week is better, next week is better. And then success is already yours. And the other thing that we mentioned in that session is that if you do things that you're good at, it actually brings a lot of satisfaction. So leisure time actually doesn't often bring as much satisfaction as work does. Turns out work makes us feel happier than just sitting around does. So if you're good at what you do, then even if it's a bit, can be a bit difficult or a bit tedious sometimes, you feel better having done it than you would sitting around. Like, for example, I feel happier doing these calls than if I was just reading a book. I like reading books, but that's not as good as helping and serving and sharing, right? I like this. It brings me more joy, and hopefully it brings you joy as well. So think about what it is that you can actually experience that would make you happy. And do that more. Do it more, do it more, do it more, because that's how you have a wonderful life. And for most projects, you can manifest, if you want to write a book or do a video series or, set up a company or whatever it is, 2 hours a day or even an hour a day can lead to huge success in a project. If you're, feeling a little bit stalled on your projects, I recommend the book I wrote specifically to deal with this problem. It's called Get It Done. Get It Done, which goes through a very powerful process, and it has a video training which you can get as well of exactly how you can set up a 21-day challenge and pull off all sorts of miracles in 3 weeks. Absolutely remarkable. So if you start, wanting to do something, get on with it, just do an hour a day, 2 hours a day, you'll be amazed how much you achieve. We also talked about business, the business in this COVID world. A lot of businesses have gone under because the situations have changed, right? So you need to be adaptable to other options. How can you do things differently? And it's not always going to work. That's the thing. Let's be honest. If someone is selling tires, for example, the tire company example I gave earlier, they can't really do an online business. I mean, what are they going to do? Sell information about tires online? It's not going to work. It's a different skill set. It's a different product. So not all businesses can actually be transferred online, realistically. Some of them can, but not all of them can. Not all of them are going to work as well online either. So when you realize that if your business is not naturally moves online, then you need to think, well, what else could you do online? Or what could you else could you do differently? Or how can you keep it moving along until things are available for the public to come back physically, right? So being adaptable is a very important thing. Cut back on waste. Most people are employing far too many people and they need to be sacked. That's not being harsh to anyone. That's just merit, just situation. Otherwise, the business is going to go under and everyone loses their job. So if you have to fire three people to save eight people, then it just has to be done, you know? Otherwise, everyone loses their job. And the thing is, the people who don't get fired are the ones who are the most valuable. So if you're if you're an employee, by the way, if you don't have a business and you want to make money, then you need to ask yourself, what can I do to become so valuable that people want to pay me so that you don't get laid off? Because the people who get laid off are the ones who are not essential. And the reason they're not essential a lot of the time is because they haven't made themselves essential. Most people are lazy. They're not interested in excellence. They haven't made themselves indispensable, right? They're just, showing up, doing the very, very least. And when it comes to it, they get fired. So if you become excellent and you really care and you add value, then you're going to be a very employable person. People are going to want to give you money. They're going to want to give you a job because you kick ass. But if you're slack, then why would they pay you anyway? And certainly in a recession, you're going to lose your job. So we have to excel to excellence. This is a very important word for us generally. How can I experience higher levels of excellence? It's such a wonderful word, excellence. There's always a higher level of excellence. And excellence is something that is attained through practice. So you don't just achieve excellence. There's no one who's excellent just because people become excellent through dedication, practice, skills, learning, trial and error, mentoring, right? It takes time to become excellent at anything. So if your business is excellent and you employ excellent people, or if you don't have a business and you become excellent, then you're going to be fine when it comes to money. The main thing is value. What do people value? And if you need to do a pivot in Silicon Valley, they have an expression, pivot, pivot, which means that you make a shift from one thing to a different way of doing something, or a different project, or a different attitude. So many companies need to pivot. They need to change directions. So in the case of someone whose business is physical, they need to immediately start their online stuff and their different types of online things. You can't necessarily use the same online stuff. You need to have a different thing, a different product, a different service, something else. Immediately apply it, or you might go under, right? This is a major issue. It needs to be taken care of immediately. Last week we talked about health. Liquids, laughter, teas, lifestyle, less, less, less. We talked about all the other things not related to food. We recommend juice, we recommend food, we love all that good stuff, right? That's all wonderful. But you know, if you only have juice and smoothies and whatever else, and you don't look after your mental health, you don't look after your emotional health, you don't get enough sleep, yeah, it's not going to work very well. So we have to have a holistic perspective. First and foremost is good feelings. Number one is good feelings. Second thing is the breath. The third thing is liquids, high quality water or juices and teas, right? Liquids. The fourth thing is the food. This is normally the thing that people pay too much attention to. And then there's exercise. Exercise and do exercise that you enjoy doing. Like, for example, I like going out into nature. I always live in exceptionally beautiful places. I'm very, very lucky, very grateful. And so I like being there. So I have to walk to be there. And if I'm walking up the mountain, sometimes it's steep. So, you know, the heart gets beating, you know, you might sweat a little bit because it's, so I don't consider it doing exercise. I consider it just going for a walk. You know, I like being there anyway. So I have to walk to get to the places that I want to sit down and meditate. So the whole thing is enjoyable, right? If you don't like running, don't run. If you don't like playing badminton, then stop playing badminton. Do you know what I mean? So you figure out what it is that you actually like to do. If you enjoy tennis, for example, then play tennis because you'll get exercise and enjoyment at the same time. If you like the five Tibetans, then do the five Tibetans. Now, having said that, some exercise, frankly, no one likes, but it's good for us. So the exercise that you don't like, well, in that case, you just have to say, well, I don't like it. I'm not going to like it, but I feel good. I'm going to feel great in 10 minutes or 20 minutes. I'll feel really good in 20 minutes. So even though I don't like it, I admit I don't like it. I'm not BSing myself about this, but I do feel great afterwards. So I'm going to do it anyway. So you're not lying to yourself. You say, you know what? Look, I don't like the five Tibetans personally. I mean, I can't say I like them, but I like feeling better afterwards, so I do them anyway. So some exercise, you just got to do it. And best thing to do is just to set a timer, you know, and so I'm just going to do 20 minutes or 10 minutes or just do a short version. And once you get started, then you often want to do more. So laughter is good as well. Nick talked about 5G hoodies. You'll have to listen to that session for the guy's name. I can't remember what it was. Tyler something, who sells clothes that have 5G protection in them, which is a good idea. And you're going to have to listen to that session for the other things. There's a lots and lots and lots. So that's the essence right there of superhero training, right? If you apply this, and it all comes back to the practice, do it now, do it now, do it now. If you apply it, you're going to make amazing, amazing shifts in your life. Miracles, miracles. And so we know how powerful this is. Each one of these things is in itself extremely powerful, but if you do all of them, right, it's just a completely next level experience, next level experience. It's amazing. I mean, what I've experienced, what Nick experiences personally, is off the charts. We're amazed at our level of happiness, and it's because of, not because we're amazing people, it's because we just do the practices. This is what it is. You just do the practice, you keep doing it, it gets easier and easier and easier. Becomes part of your life, part of who you are, part of your being, and that's just how it is, and it becomes natural. So you start with 1 minute, then it becomes 2 minutes, then you do it again and again and again, and after a while, you've actually done thousands of hours of this stuff, and you're really, really good at it. So let's take some questions. If anyone has any questions, you can type them in. Or you can press star two. And actually, I'm going to unmute Amy Miller because, of course, we love Amy Miller. Oh, Amy Miller just disappeared. She ran off. She probably knew what I was going to ask her. So, if there's any questions, feel free to hit the button or type it in if we don't have any. Question here that's already come through is, how do I get the replays? We'll send you the replays. I'll put them on the Facebook group, and we'll send out an email with all the replays so you can listen to them again. So feel free, you can type anything you want in that little box. Love to, at least, you could maybe just share your experience if you enjoyed the program or any questions you have. The key thing here, just to remember, is to be kind to yourself. Like when I started doing meditation many years ago, I was terrible at meditation. I couldn't control my thoughts. I felt miserable most of the time. It was a real mess, and I could have easily just given up, but I kept doing it anyway, and I got, the company of others. It's very helpful, by the way, to be in company of other people who are doing what you want to do. One of the easiest ways to be successful is to do the stuff that you want to do with other people, or to be with other people who do the things that you want to do, even if you don't do them. So, like, if you want to exercise every day, if you hang out with people who already exercise every day, then you're going to find exercise really, really, really easy because of their company, because of their energy. If you want to do meditation, then go and spend time with people who do meditation. Even apps like Insight Timer can help with meditation because you're with other people virtually who are meditating at the same time as you. If you want to eat well, then hang out with people who eat well. If you want to, do juices, then work with people who do juices, right? So, a couple of questions here, Sarah. Do you think we all ascend at the same time? Not really. Yes and no. So it's an interesting question. Do we all ascend at the same time? This is the age of ascent and the age of descent, depending on the person. Everyone goes through their own cycle, but this is the age, this is the time. So in one way or another, everyone's actually going to be forced to ascend. But those of us, you wouldn't be here if you didn't want to do it yourself. So you're volunteering your ascension, right? So as you can see, just by looking around, some people are not ascending. Some people are going down. I mean, it's pretty obvious. You talk to some people, they're not going, their trajectory is a downward trajectory. They're going down the hill. But sooner or later, everyone's going to have to bounce back again because we can't keep going down forever. Most people have to hit bottom, literally hit the bottom, before they're willing to go up. And we can try and stop them. But it can't be done. You have to have understanding that there's a bigger picture going on here. And I've tried to, help people who are falling from falling, but I've realized that in many cases, it's only after they fell that they want to change, right? So that's important. So, Sarah, you're ascending, and you can ascend more by doing these practices and going to the next level. And everyone else is kind of on their own journey. But generally speaking, the world is on an upward turn now. But it's going to take major problems. This is why I'm talk about like crises and major crazy stuff. That crazy stuff that hasn't happened yet, it's going to happen, and then people will ascend, right? So it's best to do it before we can. Got another question here from Anita in Oslo. How do you mean climate change is a scam? Climate change, Okay, here's the thing. Climate change was recently, until recently, was called global warming. And before global warming, it was called global cooling. So if you go back to the 1960s, 70s, they were worried about global cooling. Yeah, if you go back, you see magazines and articles about, oh my God, we're into an ice age. Yeah, so the pundits were telling us we were all going to freeze to death not long ago. Then they started predicting that there's going to be a global warming, right? And they predicted in the 90s that in 12 years the North Pole would melt and everything would be trash and everyone would be dead. These predictions have been around, been going on and on and on, and they're consistently fraudulent predictions. Consistently, they're always wrong, right? And you can just look into it. If you really take the time to look at the predictions people have made, you will see again and again and again that they are fraudulent. Again and again and again. And I'm not making this up. This is just matter of fact, okay? Now, the people who promote climate change nowadays, so what happened is that the climate, global warming stopped. It hasn't got hotter. It's got hotter and hotter, a little bit hotter, and then it's plateaued. So they realized they can't call it global warming anymore because it's not warming. So they had to change the name to climate change. And climate change is a very suspect name because the climate always changes. No one can argue that the climate doesn't change because the winter's colder and the summer's warmer, and sometimes there's more wind, sometimes there's less. So of course the climate is going to change, right? The issue is, is the human beings causing this change in weather? And the answer is no. And the people who say that it is, have a very clear political agenda and a very clear monetary agenda. The people, what's going to happen? I don't know if you realize this, but the Paris Accord, which is, the climate change agreement where the different countries pledge to cut their emissions or whatever it is, right? What's going on with that, if you don't realize this, is that no one's cutting any emissions anyway, by the way. Some countries might be a little bit, but like China and India, the main polluters, are actually going to have more pollution as time goes on, and they're going to be charged money, carbon credits. They have to pay for carbon credits. And who are they paying this money to? They're paying it to this organization, IPCC. Or IPCC, I think it's called, right? So they're paying. So all it is that there's a bunch of elite group of people who are now getting paid. Well, it hasn't happened yet, but they're going to start getting paid literally trillions of dollars. And what are they doing? They're giving carbon credits. What is a carbon credit? It's nothing. They're just basically saying we're letting you pollute the way you would anyway. So what it is there's an elite group of people who are freaking everyone out about this in order to make trillions and trillions of dollars. And if you don't, and by the way, if you want proof that carbon that this climate change is a scam, if it was true, all right, this is all you got to know is this one thing. If people really believe this, right, if this was actually true, then, if you went to Florida in America, right? Florida is one of the places that more people are moving to southern Florida than anywhere else, right? It's a hot spot. There's houses being built right against the ocean. Florida is completely flat. So if climate change is true and the oceans are going to rise, right? It means Florida is toast. Florida is finished because Florida is all flat. A lot of it is even underneath. It's below the ocean, right? So it's right on ocean level, the whole thing. If it's true, the banks would not be loaning money to people buying houses on the seashore in Florida, right? On the ocean. They wouldn't be giving them millions and millions and billions and billions and billions of dollars because all those houses would be underwater. They would all be ruined and no one would be able to live there. Banks are quite happily giving loans to people in Florida. People are moving to Florida. Yeah, if people believe this, if it was actually true, then people would be leaving Florida rather than moving to Florida. There would be no money going there, there would be no banks. There's a great book you can read about this. It's called Climate Change, The Facts. You can buy the book, Climate Change, The Facts, buy it on Amazon. And there's a documentary about this called, what's it called? It was on Channel 4 many years ago. It was something like the global warming scam or something like, I can't remember what it was called. So, global warming, something like the global warming scam, Channel 4. It came out about 10 years ago. It's a political movement, basically, and it's designed for the elites. Do your research, don't believe the news. Also, the other thing is that the amount of carbon dioxide, right, that comes off the ocean, I've got this chart. I've pulled it out of a magazine recently. The ocean produces most of the carbon dioxide, right? Most of it is 38, I can't remember, 38,000 tons or some huge amount of carbon comes from the ocean. A little bit comes off of the earth, and the human amount is absolutely nothing compared to the ocean, right? So, and the people who do the models, by the way, they fiddle around with the models. And the other thing to be aware of about why it's a scam is that they don't include the medieval warm period. It was hotter than it is now in the medieval times. They were growing grapes for wine. They were doing all sorts of stuff in England in the medieval period because it got really, really hot. So this is not the first time the world has got warmer. It's not the first time it got colder either. It's going to go warmer. It's going to go colder. It's going to go warmer. It's going to go colder. And what it is that people have freaked out about these things. So I recommend you do your research and really learn about these things because we're being brainwashed. This is what I mean about the media. Brainwash, brainwash, brainwash. I love nature. Nick loves nature. Neither of us believe in this nonsense, right? We love nature. Like I go out into nature every day. Like we spend loads of time in nature. We're more love of nature people than almost everyone else, and we don't believe in climate change and all this nonsense, right? We love nature. We don't believe in the hysteria. We don't believe in the propaganda because it's not true. And so don't think, oh, I can't go on a plane. I can't do this. I can't do that. That's not where it's at. This is it's a massive scam. There's many scams. COVID is another massive scam in a different way, but this climate change is a huge scam. So do your research if you want to do some more research. Buy that book. I wish I could remember the name of that documentary, but I'm afraid I can't remember it off the top of my head. But it's something along the lines of global warming scam. I'm just going to check, see if I can find it for you, actually. No, I can't find it. But anyway, I've done tons of research on this, and I'm pretty accurate when it comes to a lot of these sort of things because I really can see through the lies, and this is definitely one of them. So you can relax. But there's other stuff that's really a problem that's going to happen, right? Much, much, much worse stuff that is going to happen. So this is just a major distraction. So I'm not saying there's not going to be any bad things happening. There's probably going to be more earthquakes and more crazy stuff happen. But it's not for the reasons that people tell you about. All right. Any other questions from anyone? Of course, this is a huge topic, climate change, and I could talk more about it, but that's the essence. Hopefully, Anita, that was helpful for you so you can have peace of mind. And you know, we're going to be doing monthly calls probably. I need to talk to Nick about it and make sure that we can answer your questions. So if you have any questions about anything, your life, your business, your work, just let us know and we're here for you, right? This is a crazy time. It's a crazy time. We need to be gentle, look after yourself, you know, try not to worry about all the crazy stuff in the world, because most of it you can't do anything about, and it's just causing you personal harm and distress, whereas it's not making any difference to anyone else. So be nice to yourself, be kind to yourself, look after yourself, take time offline as much as you can, go into nature, you know, lie down on the grass or under a tree, you know, breathe, do your practices, eat well, you know, send blessings to your heart, blessings to your body. Give thanks to life, you know, design your life in a way that works for you. And as you do that, you become a really wonderful example for other people. Really wonderful example for others. And that is the real service. You know, the more you feel good and are able to send out a good vibration and actually be of support to others, that's how you help the world. And it all starts with you. And Sarah says, sometimes I find it hard to have peace of mind at the moment with the elite. What would be the best way to cope? Don't worry about the elite. Don't worry about the, you know, the 1% or whatever it is that that's not for you to worry about. It's not your responsibility. Your responsibility is to think about yourself. The more you look after your heart, your mind, your body, you're in a strong position. You know, we need to give attention. I'm not worried about any elite forces. I'm aware of it, but I'm not worried about it. I'm not thinking about it. We're adjustable, we're adaptable people. Human beings are very adaptable. We choose this way, we choose that way, we can do this, we can do that. We can adapt to lots of things quite easily. People have adapted to COVID, to wearing masks pretty quickly. You know, it's no one even talks about COVID anymore. Everyone just gets on with their life. You know, I hardly hear people talking about it. We just move forward. So don't worry about the elite. Just basically, Sarah, just talking to you personally from Bedford, right? Turn off your phone, turn off the internet, and focus on making your house wonderful. Focus on making your eating well, making food that you love. Focus on going out. Focus on the people that you care about. Just take time away from any information or about any elites or freaking you out. Take time away from it and just focus on yourself. And you will start to feel more empowered, more free, more joyful, more light. And that's going to make a massive difference. And then you become a positive force. You know, the elite forces, they affect the zombie people more than anyone else. People who are unconscious, people who are constantly on their phones, people who are addicted. That's the ones who they can control. They can't control people. If you take your time away, you go offline, you take your freedom, right? So you can be free and you can be happy and you can have a great life. So they've got their mission, right? That's their mission. You need to have your mission, your mission, your mission. Focus on your mission and let them worry about their own mission. The thing is, evil is going to destroy itself. Evil will destroy itself. So it's not as if they can get away with it anyway, right? Everything's going to. Anything that's not truth is going to be crushed. It's going to be crushed. So don't worry about it. Just love yourself, love your life, love your heart, love your people. Have a beautiful life. All right. So lots and lots and lots of love. Lots of love to every one of you, to each of you. Thank you for your beautiful presence. Very grateful. Take these things to heart, really take them to heart, put them into practice, and you will experience wonders, wonders, one day at a time, one moment at a time, little upgrades, little upgrades. Have patience, patience, gentle, one thing at a time, one thing at a time. Ease and grace, and you'll start feeling so much better. You'll be amazed, amazed. Much love, many blessings, and thank you for being you.